It's what I hope for and I desire. Amen. And he spoke through the meetings. He spoke, no doubt about it. And he spoke to us individually. We were blessed down there. We met a lot of nice people. The first day, what we did was, let me give you a typical day for us down there. We got up about 6 o'clock, maybe get ready, maybe get a little small bite to eat. Not much, coffee and a donut or something like that. And by 7:30, we're on the road over there. And by 8:30, we were in the building. From 9 o'clock to approximately 9 o'clock to around 12:31, depending how long the speakers were supposed to, you know, they went a little longer normally. Then we went to lunch, which was provided there. Came back from lunch at 2 o'clock. We're back in meetings again. From 2 to 4, usually a little after that. By 7 o'clock, they're going to start again. So we sit in the car till 7 o'clock, till 6:30. So we didn't leave that place for the whole day. In order to get back to our room, if we wanted to go back, we did one day because it was out of necessity. But get back there, it took us all the time to get back there, do what we had to do, and then turn around and go right back again because there was so much construction in the area. The place is just booming down there, but the road construction is amazing. And all the, we had our GPS, and all the GPS say, take a left here, there's no left there. Because everything was closed off, everything had changed. So we were going through, and the traffic was all bound up all over the place because of this construction. It was nobody's fault, just the way it was. So we learned it's better just to sit there. And then instead of trying to rush all the way back and rush, and then by the time we got home, it was usually 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So we were there by 8 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 to 8, somewhere in there, till by the time we got back it was 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And so it wasn't a lot of, like I explained to you the first day, we got there at 3:30 in the morning. So we went to sleep. We got up about 10:30, and took a shower and kind of relaxed for a few minutes, and then we had to go sign in. So we went over that day to sign in. And by the time we got back, we had got ourselves a sub, went to our room, and we passed out after that. And then we were up at 6 the next morning. So it was an interesting time. We had a good time. Not to mention the fact that we got in late on Monday morning, and we couldn't get a car that we had already reserved because everything was closed. So anyways, it was a whole experience all together. But it was a great experience because God was speaking to us through that whole time. I want to share, I'm not going to give you this message, but I want to share something with you that he showed me. Because we were in a place where there was very successful ministers, some not so, some, you know, we're successful as far as I'm concerned. We're doing what God tells us to do. That's success. But we have people there who were, you know, people of churches of probably like ours, less maybe in some cases. And then we had people all the way up to thousands were their ministers. They were the ones who were speakers, almost all of them had airplanes in the millions of dollars. Who was it? Creflo Dollar, I think it was talking one day, and he was saying that his congregation, just a hint, okay? His congregation bought him a new car. And it was a Rolls Royce. Oh. Yeah, but... What? Huh? My car does roll. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But, yeah, and he struggled with this, and he had shame over the fact that he was driving a Rolls Royce. And I know people say, well, you shouldn't have that. It's easy to say, but when you're in a spot like they are, when pastors are right in front and the world sees them and the world hates them anyways, So any blessing that comes into their life, they are automatically attacked for. And so what he did was he actually gave the car, sold it. And then he talked to Lester Summerall. And he told Lester Summerall about it. He said, "You're stupid." That's just, you know, basically that's what he told him. I'm going to tell you something else in just a minute. Lester Summerall, that I didn't realize, was a pretty tough bird. He really was. But anyways, a man of God, but tough. He knew who he was, and he knew who God was, and he did what he believed God told him to do. Anyways, he said, why did you get rid of that which God wanted to show how much he loved you? God wanted to show, that's why he gave you the card, because he wanted you to see how much he loved you. And so he repented and told his son to go out and find it. He went out and found it, bought it back, and then drove it up to everybody that was complaining about him and waved at him. So, and I'm not, listen, I'm one way or the other, but I'm just saying, these are the type of people we're around. So I was watching him and listening to him, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, Lord, because you struggle with all these things going on, and you're thinking, I'll give you a prime example. This is how God corrects you. He's really good. They had a big poster out front in the front of the place when you come in, and it's Ken and Gloria Copeland's 50th anniversary of their meetings, of their ministry. And so they got this big sign out there, 50th year and all this. I mean, big, big, big. And people are standing in front of it, and that's what the purpose of it was, so they could take pictures of themselves in front of it. So I walked by there, and holier than thou, and you know, looked at it, and I said, oh, Lord, come on. This isn't about people. This is about... And as soon as I started saying that, he said to me, why don't you just shut up and let my children have fun? He said, your biggest problem is you don't know how to have fun. That's what he said to me. See, I'm easy. I receive it. I didn't get my picture taken, but I received it. I don't know how to work the camera. I'm taking a selfie up there. Anyways. So I'm laying in bed one morning, and before I got up, you know, probably about whatever, it didn't matter what time it was, and God just started talking to me about people like Ken Copeland and Creflo Dollar and Jerry Seville and all these other people. Now he talks to me for me so that I can understand. You understand what I'm saying? He may talk to you differently, and that's fine, because he knows how to reach us in where we're at. And so don't take this in the wrong way. I'm trying to explain to you how he explained it to me so I could understand it. And he said, Dave, he said, what they have learned, he said, you need to understand, my kingdom and your world are like parallel universes. This is how he explained it to me. And it kind of looked like two different universes there. He said, what they, and there was a lot more to it. I'm just giving to you a really overall broad. He said, what they have learned to do is to come into my kingdom and get what they desire and need and bring it into this kingdom. They learned how to do that. He said that most people never learn how to do that. Most people never learn how to go into the kingdom of God, because all of that is laid up for us. Everything God has provided, all that you need for a good and godly life in his kingdom. The problem is not learning how to go into that area, into that parallel universe, if you will. That's how he explained to me. I'm not saying it's two universes. I'm not. You know, it's this worldly system, the kingdom of God. But he said they're able to go in and they learn. Now, when we were worshiping, God just told me this too. He said... Let me get it the right way. Hang on a second. He said they learned how to go in there and retrieve what I've given to them already, and they brought it back over here. It manifests in the natural things over here. But remember what he said, all good things come from where? above. Everything you need for a good and godly life is coming from out of the kingdom of God. And when he brings it out, God just didn't, he took that from me, but what I was going to share with you, because it isn't time yet, he said. Because there's something else he told me just now that I can't share, because he just said it wasn't time yet to explain that part of it. But that's what he shared with me, and that's overall, there was a lot more to it than that. But what's the fact is, learn, if you want to see all that God had planned for your life, learn to go into his kingdom and bring it out and bring it back into this world. That's what they learned to do. Okay, that's okay. Yes, Lord. He said this. He said, you've read their books on how to do it, but what you haven't got was what they had in order to do it, was to get the instructions from him personally. You understand? It's when you, look, I can speak all this stuff, bring it all to you, but until you get the divine revelation straight from the mouth of Jesus, it won't do it. They heard it from him. They wrote about it in books. But what they failed to tell you was, until you get that divine revelation, it'll never become yours, because you will never do it. All you will say, yeah, it looks good. You will try it. You will try it. But you will never, from the heart, because it's when God speaks to you. We were there, and I'm telling you, know our hearts here. My heart isn't for you to listen to me. My heart is for you to listen to him. My heart is to get you so that you're in a position to hear his voice and do what he tells you to do. Because once you hear his voice, you will not doubt that you heard his voice. We were sitting with a couple, because every day you sat with different people, just because you weren't in line with the same people at the same place all the time. And when they take you in for lunch, it was in a whole bunch of different tables all over the place, which was wonderful. But you got to sit with different people. The first day we sat with a group of Mexicans. Only one girl could speak English. One man, I think it was her father, was it? Was it? Yeah, he was the pastor. Or her brother, okay. The most beautiful people I've ever met in my life. The most tender-hearted. I'm going to tell you something. They brought us to tears, those people. When we were walking out, they were leaving on Saturday, and we were going out. They were leaving before it was all over. They left Thursday, excuse me. They left Thursday before it was all over. They had to get a flight back to Mexico. And they came running, looking for us. We're out in the parking, walking to the car. They came out running out to us just to tell us, you know, how they were praying for us and taking, you know, loved us and spoke a good word for Diane over her. And it was just, I can't explain it to you. We got his card, but it's in Spanish. But I will look him up on the internet. I already told him. So we're sitting there, and we had a great conversation, even though we couldn't understand each other really. So praise God, it was good. The second day, we were sitting with a couple, and we're talking, and I said this, and this is really what I wanted to get to, was this part. And I was talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit. I said, that's what we need. Every one of us need to hear his voice. Now listen, if you get, and let me just qualify this. If you hear his voice, don't hold back from it. Do what he says to do, but if you're not sure, talk to someone. Don't go and say, well, God spoke to me and I don't care what you've got to say. No. You got godly people in this place. Go to them. What do you think? I do that. I go to Pastor Davis. I'll go to other people. What do you think? This is what God says. I'm not afraid. If God spoke to me, I'm not afraid to bring it out so people can judge it. Problem is, the devil sounds good at times and says things. People take it and run with it. Yep. Never having, you know, examined it by the word of God, by counsel. He said there's wisdom and a multitude of counselors. Let's sit and pray about it. Paul, when he knew he was called out, never left until they sat down together and prayed and fasted. And then the Holy Spirit said, now separate me for the work that I've called him to. That's the way God intended it to be, because it is possible for all of us to be deceived if we don't hear. Satan deceived Adam in the garden. And he's still doing the same thing. So when you hear the voice of God, and I want you to hear the voice of God, and you need to hear the voice of God, if it's something major going on, then bring it out to someone. Pray with me. It's just the Lord speaking. Amen? And make sure it's godly people you bring it to. Hallelujah. All right. All of that said, as we sat there, should I not say it? Okay, I won't. I was going to get Diane coffee. And I'm walking back with my hands filled with her coffee in one hand and my donut in the other. And this is what God said to me. He said, oh, she got one too. He said this. He said, divine inspiration plus divine perspiration will bring divine creation. He said, now, you got to understand, I don't think this way. So, he said, divine inspiration plus divine perspiration equals divine creation. Let me say it again. Divine inspiration plus divine perspiration equals divine creation. Hallelujah. And so I went from there, and I started meditating on it, talking about it. As soon as I got back to the room, I started writing down. Diane bought me a journal. And I started writing down what it was. So I'm bringing to you some of what I wrote, but some more that I believe God has laid on my heart, and I'm sure there's more coming. He did it when, at first, when I listened to it, I thought to myself, he's talking about the ministry. And I believe he is. But he's also talking, and I said to Diane, I'm going to bring this out in a ministry meeting someday. And then he said, no, you bring it out now, today, for everybody, because this works not only for ministry, but it works for everybody's life. It'll affect your life. It really will. When I said to you earlier, well, let me read this to you. Divine inspiration. This is what a translation of it, what it means. One of the meanings. It doesn't mean it's the meaning, but it's one of them. It's the concept of supernatural force, typically a deity, causing a person or people to experience a creative desire. In other words, he said the inspiration, the divine inspiration, is going to cause you eventually to come to a place of divine creation in your life. Creating out of nothing something. Creating God's will into your life. Creating healing, deliverance, prosperity, all the good things that God intended us, that Jesus paid the price for on the cross. He said, I have given to you already. And he said, the divine inspiration will cause you to start walking and doing what I call you to do, which will bring the creative force operating in your life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death, destruction, failures. Too many of us have depended upon our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own knowledge. We gain in a little bit of knowledge, and all of a sudden we think we don't need to know anymore. We got it all together. We know everything. Because God operates one time this way does not mean he's going to operate every time the same exact way. He's got. There are certain things that are they're set in stone, and they're not going to change. You can find them in the Word of God right here. It changed not. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The fact that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day, that is set in stone, and nothing will change that. But God will speak to one person to go out and harvest souls over here one way and another one over here another way. But God will also instruct one over here to be healed this way and another one over here to be healed that way. Jesus never healed the same way all the time. He also spoke to people and told them, all right, now I want you to go and submit to this. And that one over there, he said, don't. You remember, he said, submit to those in authority. But then he said that your righteousness has to be greater than the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Hallelujah. I want to take you into Exodus 35 with me, please. I want to show you something. We're talking right now, the first part of this, divine inspiration. I'm going to give you some things that I believe God had showed me what I need to do. And I believe with all my heart that if you will listen to God, if you'll spend time with Him, He will instruct you in what you need to do. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, when He told them, look, you're getting ready to cross over this river. Here's what you need to do to get prepared to cross over. Well, I don't believe that God's telling us that we got to do this, or I don't believe that God's telling me to do that. Well, fine. Drown with the Egyptians. That's fine. God will let you. God will not force Himself on anybody. But I think that if there is a God, and He sent His Son for the sole purpose of dying for my sins, and brought Him up out of that grave, I think there's a way that God's got a way of leading me and guiding me in this life to a better life. I mean, that's just me. Either that, or God is God and He sits up there in heaven and doesn't give a hoot about what's going on down here. And we're being foolish. Everybody makes their own choices. I happen to believe that He does care. I happen to believe He's already got a plan laid out of my life, and it's a perfect plan. All I have to do is follow the example that He set before me through His Son, Jesus Christ, walk in the power of His might, which is the Holy Spirit of God, and to follow according to His Word, and according to the inspiration that comes from hearing the voice of our God, because God does speak to us, that He is going to prosper me, spirit, soul, and body, every area of my life. Bar none. Will I have battles to go through in this life? You better believe it, my friend, because the enemy doesn't want you to be blessed. He wants you to be cursed. But God gave us His Holy Spirit so that we can be greater than that. Amen? All right, Exodus 35, excuse me. Moses, this is a time when Moses was beginning to build. God had instructed him. Now, when the first temple was being built out in the desert, God gave him a set of plans to follow. You know that, right? This is an exact duplicate of what's in heaven. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I'm not too sure about that. I don't blame you. I wouldn't be too sure about that either. Let's see if I can find it quick. Nope. Okay. I'll find it and I'll bring it to you. It's in Romans. All right. I'll find it in the... I thought I had it here, but it's not there. I'll find it. And it talks about this, the temple that he was building was an exact duplicate, or the plans were given to him by God to build that temple, exact duplicate of what's in heaven. Now he's in the process of building this, okay? God has inspired him to go do this thing. God inspired him to go do this thing. Now look at verse 30 of 35. Then Moses said to the children of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to design the artistic work, to work in gold and silver and bronze." What did he do? Moses was given the inspiration to do this, and then the Spirit of God filled that man with the knowledge of doing the work that God called him to do. Did he have that knowledge? He had a form of that knowledge. You read later on in there, he said all these people had this knowledge. Where did that knowledge come from? God. God's called you for some things in your life. And you say, "I don't know how I'm going to go do that." What do you want to do? Just give it up? Quit? We laughed all the time when we first started in the ministry. And I told you this story before. I said, we were coming into church in North Greenbush. And Diane looked at me and said, "What do we got to give to these people?" Because, I mean, God was bringing, we were growing so fast, and we didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea what we were doing. We had no counsel. We had nobody to say, do this, do that, go here, go there. Now, one day we're driving in, and God said to me, "Gold and silver have you not, but what you have, give to them, the Lord Jesus Christ." We don't know what we're doing. We didn't know. We have no clue. Some things now, yes. But what the future brings, we don't know. Only God knows, and God is preparing us for what he's about to do. It's not doing just every day, just going on. Well, tomorrow I got to get up and go to work, so tomorrow I'll get up and go to bed and go to work. Then I'll come home. Then I'll get up and go to work. Then I'll come home. Then I'll go up and go. And that's my whole time. No. God has plans for your life so much better than that, so much more glorious than that, so much more blessed than that. God wants you to prosper, spirit, soul, and body, so you can be a blessing to others. It's not just about us. If this was just about us, we're in trouble. But it isn't. And once we get that concept down inside of us, that God is preparing me to be a blessing to someone today. God's preparing me. God wants to use me. That's an amazing thing. Do you understand? That's an amazing thing. God wants to use you. Every one of us. I don't know about you. I'm talking about God here. I'm not talking about your brother, sister, your aunt, your uncle, your wife, your husband, your children. They'll always demand things from you. But God has chosen to use you. That's an amazing thing. I'm talking about God now. That should blow your mind right there. I mean, once you get away from that, "Oh my God, God wants to use me" attitude, and you get a blasé, well, you know, that's what the Bible said, yeah, but you know, you lost it. You lost it. Because he ought to bring that to you every time. When he starts talking to me, I just sit there and go. Most of the time, God speaks to me in bed. Praise God, I appreciate that. I love it. Sometimes I don't want to get up because I don't want to interrupt what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? Amen. You understand? I don't want to interrupt him. See, here's what we get mesmerized by. If God does a miracle in front of us, we get, "Oh, wow, look at that." They had great worship there. Great worship. I mean, it was just great worship here. But there's a difference when it's just worship, getting people to jump and shout. I remember back when, and I believe you're going to see this again, when we were in North Greenbush, people weren't jumping and shouting. When the Spirit of God came in, they were on their face. They were weeping and crying, repenting. Even if they had repented earlier, they were still on their face before God. When the very presence of God is in the room, you don't stand there. You can't. We talked about the other day when Jesus, and they said, who are you looking for? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they all fell down. Just a few words. When the very presence of God comes in the house, you never have to be told he's here. You'll know. You'll know. And that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying to you. When God starts speaking to you, you know. You know. Nobody has to tell you. Nobody has to, you don't have to. You know. God spoke to me. When you're in his presence, there's an awe. I used to stand against the wall and just watch. I didn't preach, didn't lay hands on people. Just laid against the wall and just watch what God would do. And I'd just sit there and smile and say, my God's wonderful. He's wonderful. And there's always that desire, and I said it before, when you've tasted of his goodness, you're never satisfied. You're always wanting more. Always wanting more. I remember who was it, somebody that was in the comedian or whatever they were, when they got off stage, they said, always leave them wanting more, because they won't come back. And that's how God worked. He said, always leave them wanting more. And he'd always be there, and there would be more. There would always be something different, something new. Every time, it would be something else going on, and we'd just be sitting there watching. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to work up into a lather. You understand what I'm saying? Will there be dancing? Sure, David danced. But you know why David danced? You really want to know why he danced? Because God was with him. He didn't dance because the music was good. He danced because God was with him. The ark was there. The presence of God was right there. And David danced. And that's the way it's going to be too. Amen. Don't get me wrong. But when it's all said and done, people were changed. Lives were being transformed. People were hungry. They kept coming back for more. People were being healed. People were being saved. I mean, it was just a work of the Spirit. And when that's going on, when God is trying to get across to each one of us is this. Yes, I am your provider. But I provide you with all good things. Not only the things of this world, but the things out of my kingdom. And when you take that and you receive from that kingdom, he said, it's all eternal. It never rots. It never leaves you. It never falls away. I continue on doing what I do because I still taste of the goodness of God, and I want more. I'm not willing to quit. I'm not willing to give up. I want more. Amen? All right, listen. And Moses said, let me give you another scripture there in the same area, verse 34. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him and Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work. Inspired by God. If you can do it without the Spirit, then you'll never see the fullness of what God's got for you. There can be worship. And I believe we got a great worship team. We got worship. But when that cloud drops, you're really going to know what it's like to be in the midst of worship. And it will. It's coming. You understand? There's good worship. But when God comes on the scene, it's great worship. Hallelujah. You won't be able to stand then. And when you can't stand, now what do? Just let the Holy Spirit. All right. Let me give you some ideas on what to hear the voice of God, to hear this, to have that inspiration that comes from the Lord Himself. I just wrote a few things down here. Just pray, ask the Lord. First of all, spend time alone with God. I'm not just talking about, well, you know, I'm on my way to work, so I'm going to spend time with Him then. Well, you're on your way to work even if you don't spend time with Him then. Set aside some time with Him. Let it be a little bit of, if necessary, a little bit of sacrifice where you get up an hour early, maybe a half hour early or whatever. Just spend time alone with Him. I've been telling people all along, the greatest time I have is when I get up in the morning and I put that little music on. I just lay back. I might pray in tongues, but I may just keep quiet and just listen. Spend time with Him. Moses went up on the mountain. Jesus often went away at night and just sat with Him through the night and prayed. Secondly, ask for wisdom. Ask Him. He said, you have not because you ask not. Ask Him. Lord, I need to have wisdom in dealing in this situation of my life. Lord, I need wisdom in dealing with my finances. I need wisdom in dealing with my time, and my family, my friends, my ministry, whatever it is to God. Spend time with Him. Say, Lord, I need wisdom. I'm going to tell you what. When you ask, you shall receive. That's God's promise. I want to say it the right way. Don't be satisfied with yesterday's stale bread. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, it said they got manna from heaven. And that manna from heaven, He told them, you should eat for 6 days, you pick it. On the seventh day, don't pick it. And He said, don't pick more than you can eat. Don't try to store it up. Because you can't eat what was there yesterday. Because it would turn rotten. You had to have fresh manna every day. You need fresh manna from heaven. You need a fresh word from here every day. You need a fresh word in here every day. Even if it is God says to you, I love you. If that's all there is, that acknowledgement. But as soon as you start walking away from that, pretty soon you stop hearing His voice. Then you hear all these other voices around you. Oh, you know none of that works. Oh, you know that God doesn't care about you because if He did, He wouldn't let this happen. Oh, you know that nothing, and all these voices are talking to you. And all of a sudden, you can't hear His voice anymore because all those other voices around you are dictating to you who you are, what you're not, how your failures are, how much you did this, how much you did that. Let me tell you something about this right now. God will never bring up your sins to you. Do you understand that? God won't do that. He'll draw you with His love. You recognize your sin. If you don't know your sin by now, ask me. I'll point it out. God won't. God's not going to pick on you. He is never going to get you to a place where you think about yourself, oh man, I did this, I messed up there. No, we all mess up. But God always points you to the direction of the cross. He always points you to the resurrection. He always points you to the love that He has for you. That will bring that knowledge. That you look, if you're born again, you know what you're doing or not doing. You really do. Either that or you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you. And the other thing, don't justify your sins. Acknowledge them. Confess them. God's faithful and just to forgive you. Let it go. When God told me that and showed me that, He said, you're a little lamb. He said, I can't see your little sin amongst all the sins of the world. He said, the only time I know you got that sin is when you point it out to me. How do I point it out? By confessing it. Okay. He said, there's David. That's gone. So you don't let those things get to you. One of the great messages that we had there was on shame. tremendous message on shame. How the enemy uses shame to hold you. We're going to bring that one. But let me go on here. I also said, do a word search. I got that because Diane's always doing word searches. This is the inspired word of God. Amen. Some of it we know the devil speaks in there, but God inspired man to write this stuff down. Amen. Do a word search. What's your need today? Find out what God says about it. And then do what he tells you to do. Meditate on it. Look at it. Pray over it. Oh Lord, I know you said this. You said you supply all my needs. Father, right now I have a need. And tell him what the need is. Health, finances, peace, strength. What is it? Bring it to him. Yes, Lord. This is the inspired word of God. God gave it to you. So you can bring it to his remembrance, he said. And what does that do? That produces in you remembrance. Now you don't forget. How often do you do it? Until you finally see the results of your promise and the creative God is creating in you that which this word has already said is created. Hallelujah. And then be led by the Holy Spirit. We sat there with someone, and I'm going to say it anyways. So I was saying to the, you know, you've got to be led by the Spirit. You've got to hear the voice of God. You've got to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's critical in this day and hour. I don't care how good you think it is in Washington, D.C. now, oh, good, we're this or that, or how bad you think it is. Hear me. God still speaks to you. Don't put your hope in Washington. Don't put your hope in man at all. I don't care who they are, because sooner or later, I'm going to let some Diane down. Diane's going to let me down. We're going to let each other down. That's the way it is with man. We're not perfect. Amen? But if you're led by the Spirit, your hope is in God. And we said to him, I was saying that, we were talking. And I won't say all the stuff that was said there, but this one person said, yeah, I know, but I guarantee you this, the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds just like Ken Copeland. And I sat there and looked, I didn't say anything. They are in ministry and they have a high position, and you would know some of the people they even work with. When you elevate people to that position, does Ken Copeland hear from the Spirit? Yes, he does. But so do.
Amen.
And you want to hear for yourself. When I talked about divine revelation, that's what you get. That's what it becomes yours, not his. I shut up then. That was it. And I hope they meant it well. And they didn't, maybe it came out wrong, I don't know, but the way I heard it, and Diane and I just looked at each other and said, shut up. Amen. I was getting across them. As wonderful as all the messages were there, and all the hearing the Spirit of God, and I'm sure all of those messages came right out of the throne of grace and mercy, and I praise God. And these men and women were all praying and believing God, and I believe all that. And I wrote down notes on top of notes on top of notes. But what I got out of that whole time is what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. Amen. Not what I heard with these. Amen? Listen, I'm going back over my notes. I'll listen and watch those DVDs again. I will. Would I go back again? Absolutely. I believe I gained a lot from it. But I gained more power, more advancement in my life 1 minute with the Lord speaking to me and all the messages from everybody else around me. One word from God will change your life. One word. That's why it's critical to hear him. Hear his voice. Amen? All right, let me go on. Divine perspiration. We heard divine inspiration, hearing the voice of God. Now, what do we do with it? Divine perspiration. That means work. What do we do? Because if you get some knowledge and you don't use it, you lose it. I learned German because I was in Germany for 3.5 years. I could speak German well, not perfect, but well. I could understand it. I used to listen to watch movies on TV and listen to the U-boat captains talking in German, and I could understand what they're saying. Now, I get about 1 every 10 words I get. I haven't used it in years. If you don't do as he instructs you to do, pretty soon it starts sliding away. All that wisdom you had gained, all that knowledge of when you heard the voice of God, he's speaking to you, and you got that inspiration. If you do not immediately, at least immediately, say, Father, what is it? How is it am I supposed to do this? Show me. Lead me. Guide me. I heard what your voice said. If you don't do that, pretty soon it'll just slip onside. That happens a lot to backsliders. That's what happens to backsliders. They hear the voice of God. They start doing it. Then they just stop doing it because other things become more important. They get involved in this. They get involved in that. They start doing this. And pretty soon the voice of God goes at a far distance. And they miss it. In Zechariah 4, 6 and 7, listen to what he said. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now Zerubbabel was there to rebuild the temple. He had been commissioned to do it. And it's been going on for 12 years for this thing to come to pass. It hadn't been finished yet. And the Lord spoke to Zerubbabel. He said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you? This is. Listen to what he's saying. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstones with shouts of grace, grace to it. What's he saying? Those things that are going to be in your way to fulfill what God had planned for your life in whatever area it is. I'm talking, yeah, it could be the overall picture of it, but that small, let's say, okay, we need finances to do what we got to do. God, I know what you said, it's not by might nor by power. Now, you can go out and work 20 jobs and finally get enough to pay that bill, but by then you've already been in debt with more bills. Or you can learn and listen to what God tells you to do and be inspired by what the Word of God says, yes, and the voice of God, the very rhema of God. Let him speak to you. And when he speaks to you, you do what he tells you to do. And he says it then. Grace, grace comes. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. More grace, he said, you increase in grace and peace by the greater knowledge you gain of God. How do you gain knowledge of God? Yes, the written word, the logos, but also the rhema word. You can send me letters all day long, but once I sit down and talk to you, I'm going to get to know you a lot better when I talk to you personally and all the letters you write to me. I get to look at your face. When I saw that in that vision, when God showed me, I looked in his eyes. I couldn't see his face. Don't ask me about his face. I don't know about what he looked like or any of that. All I saw was his eyes. In those eyes, I saw complete acceptance. Complete acceptance. He looked at me and he said, there's nothing between me and you. There's nothing. And I know what my life is like. When that happened, when that time with him, when that happened, it changed something in me. Something happened. I knew by faith and I knew all this stuff. And I've been, you know, God has dealt with me in different places and different things. But that moment when he showed me that he accepted me, I know what it says, but I saw it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you know that you know, and this is what happened, that you're accepted by him, you stop striving. You no longer becomes a work, it becomes by the Spirit. I enter in. Amen? And it's a total different attitude, a total different way of living your life, a total way, look, when I mess up, I know enough to go to God and repent quickly. I know that. I'm not working my way into His good graces. He worked His way into my life with His grace. This whole thing, what I said earlier about what being able to get into the kingdom of God and retrieving that which God intended for us down here in this life. It's by the Spirit that this happens. It's not about what stairs do I climb or what bus do I take. It's entering in by the Spirit. Secondly, you have to have a willing and obedient heart. Whether you want to or not, you can look in Isaiah 1:19. So if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You have to want to this. If there's anything else in your life you want more than this, you're going to have a difficult time entering in. And God doesn't mind this, by the way. God doesn't mind if your heart isn't perfect before Him. He makes it perfect. In other words, you might start out on this journey with an imperfect attitude or imperfect desire. In other words, we were in the meeting. And sometimes when God speaks, it brings tears to my eyes. This is what happened this time. And I told Diane, we were sitting there. Sometimes, again, I bring this stuff out, and for me, because it's so real to me, it affects me. Other people hear it, and they're okay. I understand that, because they didn't hear it. That's why you've got to spend time with Him so you can hear Him. You want to hear what He's got to say to you, not always what He says to me. I was sitting there, and I don't know what was going on. They were just starting worship or whatever it was, and I was reading a little bit, and I was reading in Exodus when God had given instructions to Moses and said to Moses, this is how I want you to build the temple and utensils in the temple. And he was coming to a place where, I don't know if it was the ark or what it was, but he said, he told them to build it out of acacia wood. And he said, then cover it with gold. Here's what God said to me. I mean, if I've ever heard Him, I know He said this to me. He said, the wood part was the best that man can do. Even if they're not perfect in doing it, I will cover it with my gold, which is my glory. Oh, don't you know that? Oh, that tore me apart. He said, I will take your imperfect works and cover it with my glory, which was the gold. Oh, man, I went. I said, look, Diane, listen what God just said. And I wrote it down in my journal, in my notebook. So look, I'm not saying to be lazy, or I'm not saying not to try your best. But if God sees in your heart doing the best you can right where you're at, He's going to cover it with His glory. And you will see the glory. And not only will you see it, others will see it in your life. Amen? Praise God. Have a willing and obedient heart. Next, in order to get this work done, do it joyfully. Amen? Do it joyfully. Find out something. We were sitting there in these meetings, and the big thing is now that, you know, they're all laughing. Yeah. And they go, ha, ha, ha. Kenneth Copeland said, ha, 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 ha. Then talk, and he go, ha, 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 ha. We've seen it on Kenneth Hagin. Pretty soon others are laughing. Others are starting to smile and laugh. sometimes, like Diane was saying, you know, sometimes you start out in the flesh to get into the joy of the Lord. We know the joy of the Lord, what it is. It's not just going, ha, 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 ha. But sometimes you've got to call those things that aren't as though they be. Sometimes you've got to really look in the mirror and say, you know what? You are filled with the joy of the Lord, and it is your strength. Thank you, Jesus. And start. Whatever you do, do it joyfully as unto the Lord. Do it with joy. Yay! When you get up in the morning on a Sunday morning, I'm going to church. Praise God, I'm doing it with joy. No, oh, man, I got to get all these kids ready. I got to get to my house. I got to get out of the house. I'm going to be late. I got to do this. I got to do that. Then you come in here with an attitude that's miserable. Then you want the worship team to do something big to get you to smile. Or me to say a good joke, which all my jokes are good, but that's besides me. No. I can't. When I wake up Diane in the morning, and I usually do almost every morning, except if she gets a day off, I don't do it. I go in and give her a kiss and smile and laugh and try to get her to laugh. And I know when she wakes up in the morning, she's not usually laughing. But I know the power of joy. A joyful heart or a merry heart is like a good medicine. When you're filled with the joy of the Lord, you can do anything. But when you're filled with the misery of this world and all you can think about is what you got to do and what you can't get done and what this is going on and that one said and this done, pretty soon you're going to be miserable. You'll be walking out in the middle of the street, marching up and down like everybody else is doing, complaining because they didn't get their way. When you have joy, the reason you have joy, the Bible says that Jesus was filled with the joy of the Lord. He had joy because he knew what was coming after the cross. Beyond what you're going through, beyond this moment, there's a good moment coming that God has already prepared ahead of time. When all of a sudden the thing that you've been worrying about, fretting about, complaining about, caring about, all of a sudden it comes to pass, you sit there yourself and you go, oh, look. Look at, why did I get all upset about it over here? No, you know what happened? People actually believe their fretting, complaining got what they wanted. So they keep complaining and fretting. The joy of the Lord truly is our strength. And the last thing I said on this one, perspiration, do it in love, by faith, and keep hope alive. Never quit. Keep hope alive. Never quit. That's the one thing that they were talking about there. Oh, one of the things that was reoccurring down there, guess what? Restoration. Restoration. Reoccurring in the messages. Do you know why you get joy? God's going to restore everything the enemy stole from you. Do you understand that? There's things in your life God is preparing to restore. And the enemy's been at it for so long, you can't see it. But once you understand that God's about to do this, the joy of the Lord will become your strength. I can endure this because I know God is doing something better. He's bringing about His will. God's will is that you see the fulness of the promise of God fulfilled in your life. Not after your death, right now. Amen? So do it in love. Keep anything but love. Don't let love be separated from you at all. I don't care what it is. And faith. And look, just because you say you love your wife or your husband, that's not what I'm talking about. You love everybody. Even those who despitefully use you. Amen? All right, and keep hope alive. Never quit. Keep seeking Him. Keep pressing into Him. And He said, if you seek Me with all your heart, you will find Me. That's His promise to you. Amen? And the last thing. Divine inspiration. Divine perspiration. Remember perspiration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What was the greatest perspiration you can think of in the Bible? Jesus in the garden. What was the struggle over? God's will and His will. Amen? So when you really start this thing, there might be that battle, That struggle, that pulling of this way and that way. Oh, Lord, no, 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 not my will, your will, Lord. Oh, not my will, your Lord. Pretty soon it just might start perspiring. And when you really are fighting that battle, be like Jesus, it'll come out as if blood. And the last thing, creation, divine creation. Again, there was nothing created except by Jesus. He was involved in creation from the very beginning of time. Trust me when I tell you this, he's still involved in your creation. He's created for you a good and godly life for you to enter into and be part of. Jesus right now has already prepared for you that which you have. Hallelujah. And 1 John 3. Where is it? I went over it. John 1:3. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That light is what we're looking for. That life is what we desire. Amen? God has a life for you that's perfect in his presence. Not perfect in this worldly sense down here. He said in this life you're going to have trials and tribulations, but fear not, for I have overcome this world. And what overcomes our world? Our faith. Amen? Yeah, you're going to fight battles down here, but trust God. Amen? Now in Colossians 1:16-18, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he may have preeminence. He created all things for himself, and because we are his body, they were created for us. So you have to have that divine revelation that you are the body of Christ. You're not just the church. You are literally the body of Christ. You are his hands. You are his feet. Right? You're his voice here on earth. Jesus, what it should be, is Jesus speaking in us and through us to others. I still struggle at times in that area. Sometimes I allow my flesh to interrupt the spirit. We were down there in Dallas, and my, there was a few times I let my flesh speak instead of the Spirit of God, because we were on the roads and people were just crazy. They say New York is crazy, but I'm going to tell you what. Now, understandably, now remember, we're going side streets and back alleys and all this, because this is the way it's taken us to get up onto where we got to go. And just people just come. It's 75 on one of the roads, and they're doing 90. And I mean, they're just. I said, look, Diane, I'm doing 65, and that was in a 60-mile-an-hour place. I'm doing 65, and they're passing me. I had a guy come up on my tail one time so fast, and I had to get over into the lane real quick, over to the left, and I'm trying to get over. Cars are coming this way. We're coming down this way. I go over, start going over, and he goes around me and up in front of me. And I kind of spoke out of my flesh. And I go like, I'm going to be honest, this is what I say. You idiot! Father, forgive me. Bless him, Lord. Don't I? It's the way I go. It's how I roll. You know, I'm just. Anyways. I trust me, I am not, I'm far from perfect. But I'm learning to let the Spirit of God speak through me instead of me speaking. And it's not always easy. The more tired you get during the day, the more cranky we get, don't we? I said we.
I know, but we love.
And we were cranky, weren't we? About 3:30, we're at the airport. It's like 2:30, 3 o'clock now. We've been gone since we left here Sunday, and I think we got on the plane at 3:15, something like that. Anyways, when we got there, and it's 2:30, quarter 3. Yeah, 2:30, quarter 3. So they're an hour behind you. And the car rentals don't open till 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'm saying, Diane, what do you think? Should we... She said something to this effect. If you had made me wait there, you would not have got back to the hotel. Or to something like that. I forgot exactly what it was, but there was no way. But that happens to all of us. And that's part of our life. But God is always training us in those areas. I thank God that He does. By the grace of God, and trust me, it's only by the grace of God, it's not me. Trust me when I tell you. I am learning to end my complaint with the "Forgive me, Father." I want to make sure that I'm not left out there hanging, because that's an open door to the enemy. Never leave a door open to the enemy. That's why He said, never let your son set on your wrath. Don't let that happen. Don't let that sun set when you're still angry at people. Never go to bed angry with your mate. Never do that, or angry with someone else. All that does is open the door to the enemy. Invites him in to do his ugliest. Long time learning that. Long time. All right? So, what have I given you so far? Excuse me, I got way off. Colossians 1:9. Okay, divine creation. So He created all things. But not only during that creation process, He will give you all your provision necessary for getting the job done. It's God's promise to us. If He calls you, if He anoints you, if He calls you for this, if He called you into the kingdom of God at such a time as this, for His purpose, then He will always make provision for you to be the light that He calls you to be. He will always provide for you so that you don't have to go to the world to get your needs met. He will always watch over you and guide you and keep you out of the hands of the enemy. He will always do that if we will learn to hear His voice, do what He tells us to do, and follow the path that He's created for us to follow so that we can fulfill our purpose here on earth. Remember that. God always provides for you. Listen, in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Exodus 35:29, it says the children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord. All the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work which the Lord by the hand of Moses had commanded to be done. When he set out, Moses set out instructions that he had received from God on building the temple. And he went to the people. He said, this is what God says. For those who are all of a willing and obedient heart, then bring out all the things that you have to bring it to so we can build this temple. And they said the people went back to their homes. They got all their gold and silver, and they got all the cloth they needed and the thread they needed and the dyed thread they needed. They brought it all there. And it said there was so much of it. Matter of fact, I think they said it was like $19 billion or something to that effect. And it was over, I don't know how many, I can't remember now. But it was so much, Moses finally told the people, don't bring any more. We've got too much. We've got enough to do what God called us to do. There's a day coming, my friend. God is going to say, that's it. The last one came in. The last one came. Now he's going to send his son to come back and get us out of here. He's preparing us now for this. This is what's going on. He's not, I don't know if I'm going to be here until he comes. I don't know. Only God knows. But I do believe with all my heart that he's preparing us for this. A new creation. You're going to be a glorified body, a glorified spirit. Listen, Isaiah 43, 1 through 7 says this. But now, thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made, saith the Lord. God has redeemed you. He has chosen you for such a time as this, in such a place as this. God has a plan for your life. Be inspired to do what God calls you to do. Yes, it's going to take some work on your part. The work is not my will, Lord, but your will. And what's it going to be? You're going to see a new created life that God had planned for you from the very beginning of time. But it begins with this, hearing the voice of the Lord your God. Hearing his voice and following his instructions. And watch what God does then. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time. We bless you, Lord. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have given us this opportunity to know you and to make you known to others. I pray now, Father, for divine inspiration, divine perspiration, and divine creation operating the lives of your children. We are called, Father, for this time. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who brings us into that place, Father, where your glory may be manifested. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I believe we have communion this morning. Hallelujah. So if you could prepare.